Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. So on the Patreon chat last week, we discussed the number of different kinds of things you could find in other media, games, whatever, that reference Fallout, because Fallout has been a big influence on other media. But what about the other way around? What are the references that Fallout makes to other media? What are the inspirations and little things that the developers have implanted into the game that reference pop culture, popular movies, and other games? So this is going to be interesting for a few different reasons. First of all, if you go way back, I'm talking years back, if you've listened through the show, you probably remember an episode where I talked about all of the movies that inspired Fallout and some of the books and things like that. But this list is much bigger, and it comes from a, let's call it, tricky source. What I have in front of me right now is a list on the fandom.com wiki of 126 different references, and this is going to be an investigation because, as we all know, wikis are a wonderful source of information, but they don't always get everything right. They are often filled in by people in the community, and sometimes the things that they talk about, the things that they reference, and even the actual references themselves, when you go down the rabbit hole, don't actually hold up. Now, that doesn't mean that wikis are without their worth and their value. They're an integral part of doing the research. In fact, they are often inspiration in starting down a path with something. I often pull information from different wikis or different forums, places like Reddit, that inspire the episodes or create at least a baseline amount of information. But the trick with using them is that you always have to vet the source. You can't just read it and then expect it to be 100% right 100% of the time. It's a good place to start, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it gives you the whole story. Another example of this is I've been going through the pre-war businesses recently, and this is going to be a new series that kind of goes between those episodes if it works out. Hopefully this episode works out and it becomes a new series. But my point is that list of pre-war businesses does exist on a wiki, but I absolutely have to do more research with every single one of those entries to make sure that not only is it accurate, but to find other information in and around it. Most of the time, the things that are referenced there are not the full story. And you've heard me expand upon that multiple times where I was able to delve deeper and find more out than what was originally just posted in the wiki. So with all of that said, we are going to investigate the cultural references in Fallout and also see how accurate the wiki is, the fandom.com wiki is about this. And we're going to start with Fallout 3. That's right, 126 entries just for Fallout 3. And eventually we'll move on from there. And who knows? I mean, my gut says, I don't have inside knowledge on this, but my gut says that the next Fallout release we're going to get is a Fallout 3 remaster. So this might be a lot of fun to go through before that comes out. So when we all play through the game again, we're going to have these things on our mind. So let's get into it.
You gaze upon one of America's greatest minds, preserved through the miracles of science.
Our first entry is, well, alphabetically, it begins with a number because numbers go before letters if you're doing alphabetic order, which is kind of a funny way to say that. But anyway, we are starting with the novel, 1984. Now, if you know of 1984, if you've read it, then it makes sense that there would be some references in Fallout because, well, we'll get into it. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read you the entry on the fandom.com site. Then I'm going to give you a synopsis of what the reference is. So basically an overview of what 1984 is. And then we're going to look into the details and see if they hold up. And then I'm going to speculate about some other things that might actually be good or better references in Fallout. So what does the fandom site say? It says, Irving Chen's daily affirmation reads, Comrade Cheng is watching you, which references the quote, Big Brother is watching you, from 1984. And the second point here, The Vault 92 Overseer's terminal contains the phrase, "Sanity is not statistical," which is a reference to the book's quote, "Sanity was statistical." All right, so those are the references. Now, what exactly is 1984? Well, if we go to the Britannica site, yes, an encyclopedia and not a wiki, this is the description we get for the book. Just to bring everybody up on the same page, you don't have to read the whole book, but here's what it says. 1984, a novel by English author George Orwell, published in 1949 as a warning against totalitarianism. The novel's chilling dystopia made a deep impression on readers, and Orwell's ideas entered mainstream culture in a way achieved by very few books. The book's title and many of its concepts, such as Big Brother and the Thought Police, are instantly recognized and understood, often as bywords for modern social and political abuses. The book is set in 1984 in Oceania, one of three perpetually warring totalitarian states. The other two are Eurasia and East Asia. Oceania is governed by the all-controlling party, with a capital P, which has brainwashed the population into unthinking obedience to its leader, Big Brother. The party has created a propagandistic language known as Newspeak, which is designed to limit free thought and promote the party's doctrines. Its words include doublethink, belief in contradictory ideas simultaneously, which is reflected in the party's slogans, "War is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength." The party maintains control through the thought police and continual surveillance. So you can already see some of the themes that have seeped into Fallout and, unfortunately, a lot of our actual real world. So that's the gist of it. There's more in the summary, but we're not going to spend the whole time doing the summary. I just want to give you kind of that foundation to make sure we're all on a level playing field discussing the same thing. All right, so going back to the entry about 1984, again, the first reference is Irving Chang's Daily Affirmations reads, "Comrade Chang is watching you," which is a reference to the quote, "Big Brother is watching you." That sounds like an accurate reference to 1984. But here's the thing. If you dig into this a little bit and you look at Irving Chang's personal computer where this entry is supposed to be, there is no "Comrade Chang is watching you." Now, you might remember Irving Chang as one of the wealthy people in Tenpenny's Tower. And he is the guy that walks around talking about communism, and he believes himself to be the descendant of Chairman Chiang, the leader of the People's Republic of China from before the war and during the war. There's some interesting stuff going on there. But if we look at his terminal, we only have a few entries. The first entry says, "Welcome, comrade," which makes sense. He calls people comrade. He believes he's a descendant of the leader of the communist regime that was running China at the time. Then there's another post, "Rebuilding proposal. We excel at destroying the old world, and we excel at building a new one. Chairman Chang." It's a quote from Chairman Chang. And there's more, which really sets up our understanding of what he believes. It says, 200 years ago, Chairman Chang led his armies to defeat the decadent rulers of this land. Now his humble descendant, Comrade Chang, shall lead its noble people to rebuild a brighter land in its place. By uniting to work together, we can eradicate the twin dangers of lawlessness and disease. With unified soldiers, we can cleanse the land of beasts and highwaymen. With organized farmers, we can overcome starvation and poverty. When competing villages are destroyed, all must unite under the glorious leadership of Comrade Chang and the Tenpenny Commune." Yes, this is not pre-war stuff. This is pre-war flavored stuff that he is putting here. And he's an old man at this point, but he still seems to have these rebuilding plans for fixing the world. And of course, that never really plays out. So that's not what the wiki was referencing, right? It was saying that there was a daily affirmation that reads, "Comrade Chang is watching you." Well, the only daily affirmation we get in his terminal simply says, "Win glory for our motherland." Nothing about Chairman Chang is watching you, no Big Brother stuff, just "win glory for our motherland." So is the entry absolutely wrong? Is it just made up? Well, I've done some research, and really all I can find is that this might be one of those things that just gets referenced by the internet and then keeps getting referenced on the internet that people believe to be true and then just don't look it up. So that one feels like a dead end to me. But what about the second entry here? The Vault 92 Overseer's Terminal contains the phrase, "Sanity is not statistical," which is a reference to the book's quote, "Sanity was statistical." So if we look at the Overseer's Terminal, it turns out that this is actually true. Vault 92 Overseer's personal entry 00089737. Malleus says WNMSCE is a failure, so there's been a few deaths. One step back, two steps forward. It's easy to suppress what everyone in the vault are calling crazies. I've added a command word in their suggested implants. Simply say the phrase, "Sanity is not statistical," and they will stop dead in their tracks. I've informed the guards of this, but I've told them only to use it when out of earshot of anyone. So the reference is accurate. Now, what was going on in Vault 92, and why does this make any sense with 1984? Well, if you recall, Vault 92 is the musicians' vault. It's the one where a bunch of musicians, the best musicians across the land, were all invited into the same vault with the concept of preserving musical talent into the future. But in actuality, the test that was being performed on them had to do with white noise generators and the implementation of subliminal messaging into their minds. So the Overseer is using a command phrase to trigger or calm the residents, the ones who suffer from auditory hallucination from the experiments. And by stating "Sanity is not statistical," the game is having the Overseer reject the Orwellian concept found in 1984. The Overseer is basically arguing that an individual's sanity is an objective reality that cannot be defined by the statistics, the behavior of the collective, the belief of everyone else. So this makes sense as a command line because it is very specifically pushing back against the idea that the thing that's impending on your brain, the thing that's making you go crazy, this idea that reality has to match what everyone else believes, and therefore, if it doesn't, it is not reality, which drives us crazy because we all want to believe our own thoughts, our own impressions, our own eyes and ears. And so this command line is in direct contrast to the idea that you have to give up that autonomy in order to be part of the collective, which goes right back to 1984. The entire premise in 1984 is about this group that is part of Oceania and how the leadership, how Big Brother convinces everybody of the truth through implementing like culture-wide decrees about what reality is. And if you don't agree with that, then you are not part of the group. The whole idea is to define for the populace what they want reality to be, what the leadership wants reality to be, because that's what benefits Big Brother. And truth, capital T truth, doesn't exist. Truth, reality, all of that is not based on anything other than matching the consensus that is put in front of you. If you do not believe what everyone else believes, then you are not believing reality. Then you are not dealing with truth. Now, do you see the connection here to Vault 92? This makes a lot of sense. It also makes a lot of sense that the Overseer's Terminal would use this reference. And so good job, fandom.com. You got this one right. But it also is interesting because it implies that the book 1984 might have been something the Overseer read. It might be something that exists in Fallout. And that is absolutely possible because the book was originally published in 1949. And you can absolutely see in this book the effects of World War II and the way that that made people question the way that human beings work, the way the society works and all of that. And then you could see the direct lineage from those ideas into Vault 92 and the experiment with subliminal messaging and dealing with people and the fallout of them being, well, influenced to believe what the Vault wants them to believe. So fandom.com got one of the two right. There's definitely a reference on that second one. But what other kinds of things, not just in Fallout 3, but across the Fallout games, feel like they could be inspired by 1984? So I've created a list of ideas, and these aren't necessarily direct references to a specific quote or something like that. These are more conceptual, but I think some of these have some possibility here. So what about Oceania? What about the concept of vaults and vault tech working like Oceania, like Big Brother? That feels like something that extends beyond just Vault 92. So from a meta perspective, the idea that vault tech is the arbiter of truth in any of these experiments, and what they say is the way the world will appear to those people in the vault, then absolutely, this feels like a Big Brother thing. So that, in a broad sense, makes a lot of sense. Also, you could see any single overseer as a stand-in for Big Brother in many of the vaults, because they are the be-all, end-all decision maker when it comes to the lives of the people in that vault, and their reality gets imposed on everyone in the vault. So that makes sense too. But there is one point on this whole concept of the way Oceania works that is more specific. Remember the GOAT test? The aptitude test that all the vault dwellers take in order to determine what they're going to do with their lives? Well, in Fallout, the generalized occupational aptitude test, the GOAT, is very similar to the aptitude test that they take in 1984, which sorts people into the party in order to decide their exact place in society. It strips away individual choice, and it leads you into something that you're going to do for the rest of your life because it's better for the state. Individuality is suppressed. You have to live your lives according to the ways that the state wants, the ways that the vault wants, and you have to believe what they tell you as the truth. So there's no questioning the GOAT. You just take what you get and you do your job, and that's it. I like chewing gum. You like chewing gum. Probably. Most of us like chewing gum. But what if your gum actually did something more than just taste good and make your breath better? I mean, think about it. You brush in the morning, you brush in the evening, but then you go for like all day without taking care of your teeth. And that's why I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons. It's not really regular chewing gum. It's remineralized chewing gum. It's basically oral care in gum form. It tastes great, and you chew it for like 5 or 10 minutes, you spit it out, you move on, or you keep on chewing it if you like it. And sometimes I have a second one, or a third one. I mean, they taste real good. Can you blame me? And it's made from hydroxyapatite. I hope I pronounced that correctly. It's the same mineral that the enamel on your teeth is made from. It comes from natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it's got this like firm, satisfying chew. It's not so plasticky or rubbery. And did I mention I really like the flavor? I really like the flavor. And I'm feeling healthier about my mouth and my teeth. It's a good feeling. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making and packing and shipping gum every day, made in the US. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush by Nathan and Sons. That's Underbrush from Nathan and Sons. So here's another concept, another way that this works out in Fallout. If we jump over to Fallout 4 and we take a look at the Institute, we realize that it's not just Vault Tech and it's not just the vaults that operate the way that the party, capital P party, does in 1984. What is the Institute doing? They are replacing people with synths. And in order to do that, they have to rewrite, well, reality, the truth of the situation. They have to convince people to believe something as the truth that isn't actually the truth. So that has some flavors of 1984, but also there's a little bit of newspeak in the Institute as well, because they dehumanize their own synths. They call them units or hardware or assets. This is linguistic control. This is something that totalitarian regimes of all different stripes try to do. In fact, marketing, this is the way marketing works, is that I mean, how many times have you seen a commercial where they used a word to describe a thing and you're like, I don't know if that's the word I would have used to describe that. That's intentional. They're trying to shape your perceptions around something by using specific words. And if you are part of the Institute, then you need to believe deep down that these things that you're building aren't actually people. They are hardware. They are units. They are assets. You need to take away in your own mind any sense of empathy or emotion or autonomy that these things might act like they have in order for you to keep going about your business, making more of them. Because if you were to believe that they were people, then that would be a moral issue. That would be a problem. So that connects back to the concept of newspeak, which a lot of us would just call propaganda at this point. But what about Fallout New Vegas? Is there anything in Fallout New Vegas that seems like 1984? So let's go back to the Old World Blues DLC. There's a robot called Bookshoot who basically incinerates books because he thinks they're seditious or anti-government. Now, in 1984, the government has these things called memory holes, where they throw history into furnaces to burn it and make it disappear forever. Book burning, this is a big totalitarian thing. Whenever you see things in the real world where people are trying to ban or destroy books, it's because they are trying to rewrite history most of the time. The Bookshoot is a actual, like, living sort of embodiment of this. They're not just like a hole in the ground. They are a robot that actively destroys anything that doesn't match what should be considered truth. And I'm putting that should in a nice little hand quotes while I'm saying it. But that's not just the only part here. You find it in House 101. In the book, Room 101 is the final torture chamber where they break your spirit by using your absolute worst fears. In the book's case, a cage of rats locked onto your face, which reminds me of the not the bees thing, but rats instead. I don't know, some of you are going to get that reference. Now, the robot jokes about putting a re-indoctrination module on you involving a cage and rats. Now, it's dark and it's supposed to be kind of funny. It's a satire, but it's one of those, like, if you've read the books, you get the reference moments. It absolutely is a reference to 1984. So there you go. Other references in other games other than Fallout 3, but that's where we're going to start. I know this is a format that's a little bit odd, but it's kind of fun because it takes us on this adventure. Now, there is a meta layer to all of this, which I find kind of hilarious. The first entry where we're looking at is 1984. It's the only one we're going to have time on this episode for because we're going to dig into a boy and his dog on the next episode. So get ready for that. Pretty dark stuff. But here's the thing, is that I am investigating what this one specific wiki says about these different references. And the very first one on here is about defining truth and reality through information and words that change people's perspectives of the world. And in this case, we discovered that the very first reference here doesn't exist. It is something that seems to have been made up whole cloth. Now, I might get some, one of you guys might dig into this and go, well, actually, if you look through, if you go back in the game and you dig through the files or something like that, that reference is there. It just wasn't referenced in the terminal stuff that you can see. Or maybe I messed up. Maybe you have to do a thing that unlocks another entry in the terminal and I didn't see it, but I haven't found any evidence for any of that. But who knows? I could be wrong. But that's the point. The point here is that when we are presented information that feels contrary to our perspective of reality, it makes us question ourselves. It makes us question reality. And if you do this enough, then eventually you start to believe the newspeak. You start to believe the propaganda. And like somebody in Vault 92, you start to go crazy. And so what I'm actually uncovering here is, now, I don't think this is intentional, but it's an example of how if you get the information wrong or you just convey something you want other people to believe and it gets repeated enough, it starts to feel like reality because most people don't go back and check the source. The more you tell people with confidence that something is real or something is not real, the more they start to believe you. And the more people who repeat those same things, the more it gets believed. And eventually you end up with something like this that just gets replicated across the internet. And Comrade Chang is not watching you. That's not even a reference. And it, I don't know, it's funny because he's part of this communist thing. But I guess the communists were watching people, but there really isn't that same sense around them that they, I guess you could say they were like Big Brother to their own people. They probably were. It's Fallout, but it feels kind of like a stretch, right? Like, wouldn't it have made more sense to make this up and say it was the Overseer's terminal that said that for Vault 92 or some other Overseer than Comrade Chang? Comrade Chang's just hanging out in Tenpenny Tower doing his thing, spewing propaganda, but he's not watching. He has no power. How would he be watching everyone? That doesn't make sense, right? So there you go. That's our first entry. We're going to bounce back and forth between this thing that I'm doing here and the pre-war businesses. So we'll get back to that on a future episode. And then when we pick back up on this, it'll be A Boy and His Dog, which is a movie we talked about before. And then after that, the band AC/DC. Yeah, there's some interesting stuff on this list. And this was a long one. Some of these are not going to be as long as this one. But hey, we're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to go thank our patrons. I will be right back.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
Thanks again for being here. And if you enjoy the show, if you want to support what I'm doing with this show and you want to keep it going, then I would really appreciate your support on patreon.com/falloutlorecast, like Joel C and Fox345, who signed up recently. Welcome. So glad to have you here. Patrons get episodes without any ads. So if you are just discovering the show and you want to go back and listen through the 400 episodes, but you want to do it more efficiently, then being a patron member is a huge help to that. Plus, you can join us for our patron chats, which are always a good time, depending on the tier you sign up for. So thank you, Fox345, that's P-H-O-X, and Joel C. And also, got to shout out all of our sentry bots, Germinator, Nova, Main Monkey, and Era M. Thank you for your continued support. And there are other ways to help out the show. Share it with your friends. Leave a 5-star review. And if you leave one on Apple Podcasts, I'll read it out on a future episode. That's going to do it for this week. I'll be back next week with some more pre-war businesses, most likely, unless I get some other crazy idea. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. And until then, stay safe out there. And if you hear the line, sanity is not statistical, you might be in Vault 92. You might want to get that checked out. Could be a problem. All right, I'll see you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.